This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, while liberals in Washington continue to try and link the Trump administration to Russian election interference, tension between the two countries are at a boiling point in the Middle East after a U.S. F-18 shot down a Syrian jet on Sunday. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins me for that conversation, along with we'll be joined by Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey as well. Also, the House Majority Whip Steve Scalise successfully underwent another surgery today, as people across the nation continue to pray for him and his family. But the concern that the vast majority of Americans have shown was not evident this weekend on MSNBC. We'll talk about that with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center. And he has the appalling details of MSNBC host Joanne Reed. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And could pro-life activist David Jalidin and his attorneys be headed to jail for refusing to be silenced by an Obama-appointed activist judge? We'll talk about that with the chief counsel of the Thomas More Society later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, tensions with Russia continue. Russia's top diplomat said the U.S. needs to respect Syrian territorial integrity. Russian officials also say it will shoot down anything that flies over parts of Syria where it is operating. We're joined now by Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council and former commander of the Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
These tensions between Russia and the U.S. are serious, are they not?
They are serious, but be very honest with you, I think that the Russians are only losing sight of this situation right now because I don't think that they are going to be able to do a whole lot that will actually have any impact on the situation there. And it shows once again that Donald Trump is standing up to the Russians, and that's what they hate the most.
So what we saw here was the U.S. Shot down a Syrian jet that was reportedly bombing near U.S. allied forces that are operating against ISIS in the region.
Yeah, that's right. There was a ground confrontation before this all started, and then once that broke off, in about I think it was about 6:30 Sunday night, Damascus time, this SU-22 came in and dropped ordnance and wounded some of the American-backed fighters there, many of which are Kurds. And as a result of that, the U.S. Navy, it was an F-18, gave them a warning, and then when they didn't heed the warning, they shot them down. One of the things that's important to remember, though, is that every time they shoot down a Syrian airplane with a U.S. airplane, it's a humiliation to Russia for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the SU-22 is a Russian-made aircraft. And all this is doing is reinforcing the inferiority of the Russian war material.
So, General Boykin, is there more playing out here than what meets the eye when we look at, the Middle East, obviously Syria, that's a hot spot right now. But are some of these other issues related to the United States and Russia kind of the backdrop?
Well, I can't say what's in our president's mind, but, it certainly occurred to me that he would not miss this opportunity, given that they're accusing him very speciously, it appears, of collaborating with the Russians. They're accusing him of being soft on Russia. And for him to do this when the Russians are in Syria as the protector of Bashar al-Assad and the Syrian regime, and he sends a Navy aircraft in and shoots down one of the Syrian airplanes, that's a real affront to the Russians, and it's also an embarrassment to them.
General, elsewhere over the weekend, we had a collision between a U.S. warship and a Chinese shipping vessel, and some are saying there appears to be more behind that than what meets the eye.
I don't know. You know, Tony, you're you know, have experience in the sea services, but it seems to me that given the radar that those ships are equipped with, and given that there is always somebody on that bridge on watch, there's multiple people. I do know that much. And they've got the radar there, so regardless of the visibility or the ambient light even, they can see through the fog, they can see over the horizon. They have every reason to be able to avoid that kind of collision. And I think that what you're going to find is that whoever was on watch was not doing their job properly. Now, that's, you know, I'm making a judgment, but just based on what I do know, it does not appear to me that the people on watch there were doing their job, because they have the equipment and the technology to prevent that kind of thing from happening. Hmm.
So what should we be watching for in the Middle East with Russia and the United States? Is this something that's tension going to remain, or is this just a flash in the pan?
Well, Russia does not want to take on the United States. We need to remember that. Russia does not want to take on the United States. And every time Donald Trump does something like this, it just confirms for them that he is unpredictable. They don't know what he's willing to do or capable of doing. And I think that you'll see more bluster from the Russians, and they might do something here in the short term. But it's not going to result in a Russian-U.S. conflict in the battle space there in Syria, because they have too much to lose. I'm more concerned about Turkey, to be very honest with you, but that's a different story altogether. I just think the Russians are not going to be able to deal with this very effectively, because they just simply don't know what Trump's willing to do.
All right. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon.
Glad to be with you.
All right, General Jerry Boykin. Let's get the perspective of a member of Congress. I said Chris Smith. I've been informed we're going to have Congressman Ted Poe, a favorite here on Washington Watch. He joins us now by phone. Congressman Poe, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to talk to you.
A busy weekend internationally, a lot going on. We were just talking with the general about what took place in Syria with the U.S. shooting down a Syrian a fighter plane. What's your take on that conflict, the threats between Russia cutting off the hotline between the United States and Russia in terms of protecting the airspace over there? What do you see happening?
I think that the United States made it clear the reason that they shot down the plane, that it had bombed near where coalition forces were on the ground tracking down ISIS. The Russians already track our aircraft in that small space over Syria. Well, we know who's in the air, and they know who is in the air at all times. They have that capability. We have that capability. So the idea that they're going to track our planes, they're already doing that. I do believe, as the general said, this is an embarrassment to the Russians, because they're supposed to give cover for Assad's brutal regime of killing his own people. And they did not do that in this case, and I think they knew quite well what the United States was doing. But they have to save face, just like they had to try to save face with the cruise missile attack against the Russian base that was killing Syrians. You know, nothing happened over that except that the Russians said, "We're gonna remember this, and we're gonna get even." But you know, they haven't, and I don't believe anything is going to happen over this as well. So the Russians are just trying to save political face with Assad over this incident. However, it is a mess in Syria. You have Assad and the Russians, and then you have the coalition forces, and then we don't know who all these coalition people are. We're supposed to be over there not trying to overthrow Assad, but trying to get rid of ISIS. And then you have all the foreign countries that have also picked sides. So it's a very messy political and military situation on the ground and now in the air.
It almost looks like one of those barroom brawls. It's where everybody's
That's
throwing
right.
punches.
That's right. Just swing at somebody that's close to you.
It's what it appears, but there almost there seems to be another element here, and I want to get your thoughts on this, that the world is still trying to figure out how to deal with America under the leadership of Donald Trump versus Barack Obama.
Well, you're exactly correct. We knew that Obama, President Obama, was not a leader. He was not a world leader, and I'm not sure he was a leader in the United States. But so the world knew that, and now people are trying to figure out, is Trump going to come and replace the leaderless America to a leader? And I think he is. I think he will act in the best interest of the United States when he has to, and this was another example of that. I don't think I think the Russians are learning that as well, that he is a leader and a force to be reckoned with at appropriate times. I don't believe President Trump is reckless or will be reckless, but he will protect the national interest of the United States when he needs to do so, and that's what happened in this case.
You know, I agree with that assessment. I am not excited about everything I see in the Department of Defense, especially they've been very slow, and in fact, haven't done any of reversing of a lot of the social policy that the Obama administration foisted upon the military. But from a standpoint of using the military to defend our interest abroad, I think he's done it quite well when required. And I don't think he's reckless, but I think he is intentional, and I think he sent the right. I think he has been sending the right messages.
And the Russians continue to bait us, if you will. They intercept our aircraft off both coasts. They constantly are buzzing our airplanes and buzzing our ships to see what we will do. And under Obama, we did nothing except almost apologize. And I think those days are over. The Russians are testing us like they have constantly done, always under Putin. And we're going to meet the test, and we're not going to give in to their harassment, if you will.
Yeah, I still kind of scratch my head while liberals in Washington still are looking for this connection between the Trump administration or the campaign and the Russians in terms of the election quote-unquote interference. But yet we see this strong conflict with this administration standing up to the Russians. It quite frankly doesn't add up to me.
Well, it doesn't add up. You know, I'm a former judge, and I hadn't seen any evidence in the last year of this so-called collusion between President Trump and the Russians in the election. And now even the Democrats are starting to say, yeah, we don't really have a case. So, but the left has, their agenda is not Russia. Their agenda is to delegitimize President Trump any way necessary.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Congressman Ted Poe, as always, great to have you on the program. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you, Tony. Thank you.
All right, sir. Congressman Ted Poe of Texas. He represents the 2nd Congressional District. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, when we return, I'll give you an update on Congressman Steve Scalise. Underwent another surgery today successfully. But even as the nation prays for him, overwhelmingly, America's pulling for him, given what's taken place. Well, almost all. MSNBC, I think, reached a new low over the weekend. We'll talk about it with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center when we return here on Washington Watch.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Good news in the case of our friend Congressman Steve Scalise, undergoing surgeries over the weekend, another one today, a six-hour surgery. And it from all reports, went well. He is making a recovery. His condition was upgraded over the weekend. And, you know, the nation continues to pray for him. I've been in close contact with friends and family around him, just getting a regular check on him and assuring them we're praying for them and others are praying for them. But over the weekend, MSNBC's Joy Ann Reid and CBS's Scott Pelley, you would think that there was this return to a culture of civility. I mean, that's what everybody was calling for last week, saying, hey, maybe we need to rethink our rhetoric. Well, that was, if they have anything to do with it, it is short-lived because they went on the attack saying some incredibly appalling things. Almost, I mean, implied, I'm not saying they said it, but implied that, well, because of his extreme, and that they did say, his extreme views, you know, we can't overlook that. Joining me now to talk more about this and give me his take is Tim Graham. He is with the Media Research Center. He is the Director of Media Analysis and the Executive Editor of Newsbusters. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
You know, Joanne Reed cited his positions on Obamacare, marriage, all these things as extreme. What was your take on how she dealt with that?
We could understand that Joy Reid would disagree with the congressman's positions on the issues, but what was odd was that she's sitting there having a supposedly moral conversation with the Reverend Barber, and she says, well, as much as people want to root for him to survive, he does have these distasteful views. I mean, it really comes off like, well, do we really have to root for him, and do we really have to avoid the topic of his distasteful views? I mean, it really underlines a lack of civility.
Yeah, and that was my take as well. I mean, the left it's, you know, we find people's views, you know, I don't know, they're flawed, all right? I mean, when we have these ideological disagreements, we see their reason as flawed. But we don't see them as human beings being worthless. I mean, maybe their ideas are worthless, but we don't see them as worthless. But I can't say the same for the way they view this.
Well, part of it is a matter of rhetoric. So, for example, I would not sign a tweet or agree with the notion that the press is the enemy of the American people. I would absolutely endorse the idea that they are the opposition party to the Republicans, whichever right. president they have. That's yeah. just obvious, yeah, that's whether you look at their donation records or their media coverage. So it's a matter of, yes, what is the level of your rhetoric? What upsets me is that, yes, after a shooting like this, the news media will say, tisk, tisk, you know, we really have to watch the tone of our toxic discourse. And then they pretend that they're not guilty of any.
Yeah, what about, you know, taking it even further, CBS's Scott Pelley, you know, had the nerve to say this Scalise's gunshot wound may have been self-inflicted. I mean, insane.
He would say he was speaking metaphorically somehow, that because, you know, again, you don't, nobody was going to look back and say, let's go through Gabby Gifford's floor speeches on the House and see if anything in those floor speeches suggested she had it coming.
I mean, that's what they're saying, is that if you have these conservative views, then you are a target, as if that, you know, somehow these views justify this type of behavior. Again, we may see the ideas and the initiatives that the left puts forward as worthless, but we don't see them as human beings being worthless, because every individual is created in the image of God, therefore worthy of dignity. But it doesn't give every idea the same weight. But they go beyond the ideas and the ideology and the debate to go and to attack the individuals.
Well, I think the first reason, the first way that the liberal media in particular, the first problem they have is they want to deny that the conservative side has any idealism, that the conservative side, that the agenda there is to shut down democracy, pollute the air, and you know, everything on their agenda is anti-this, 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 the adjectives they use.
Right.
And then just not just that, Tony, but they suggest that the other side has no intelligence.
Yeah.
That their arrogance that, you know, well, obviously Trump and these people have no brains whatsoever.
Tim, very quickly before we run out of time here, we also found out over the weekend further information coming out that the gunman who was killed in the attack had a hit list on him. All conservatives, friends of mine, conservative members of Congress, Freedom Caucus members. Does the left bear any responsibility for making them enemies of the public? I mean, the rhetoric that has been used, I mean, you've got groups like Southern Poverty Law Center that put out targets on people, Scalise they did a profile on. At what point does the left assume the responsibility that they have?
Well, the main problem here is their hyperbole, is that they have been so aggressive they wanted to blame the Gifford shooting on Sarah Palin. I don't think that two wrongs make a right. I don't think that I think a moral conservative says we blame the shooter first. We don't
right.
blame somebody who
right.
may have inspired the shooter. But again, right. they need to realize if this is their mode of argument, this
yeah.
slap happy, let's pretend that this we can blame violence on the Tea Party type stuff. They should at least have to say, "Whoops, well, I guess we were reckless."
Yeah, good luck. I don't think you're going to hear it from them. Tim Graham, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
All right, check out the website. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Yeah, absolutely. You know, just as the shooting that took place at the Family Research Council, the gunman, the guy who did it, Floyd Corkins, responsible, but he picked his target based upon what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done, their hate map. Same with, there were other targets he had, same place. Steve Scalise, profiled by the Southern Poverty Law Center when he was running for whip, they tried to defeat him. So they try to play referee and they want to be a player as well. You got to choose one of the two. All right, when we come back, there's more Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Not a lot of economic data coming out this week, but some important data in and around housing. We had some data last week. On Wednesday, we get existing home sales for the month of May. We'll see what those numbers look like. I can't imagine they're going to look too good, only because there's not a lot of inventory when it comes to existing homes. And then on Friday, we're going to get a service sector PMI number. That's very important to the economy. That is going to be for June, and a manufacturing number for June as well. They are important, but we also get new home sales for the month of May. I don't expect that this is going to be a very good number based on construction spending, builder sentiment, and other numbers that we got out last week. But new home sales certainly are going to be an important look moving forward. The other thing this week that we should be wondering about, and that's probably all it's going to be, is wondering the impasse in the House GOP in reference to a budget resolution. Is it going to happen? I doubt it. We've got defense hawks as well as budget hawks continuing to see an impasse when it comes to spending levels. Needless to say, this is problematic for spending bills. And senior Republicans are talking about abandoning the budget blueprint altogether. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that would be a continued resolution just like last year, which means another year without worrying about accountability.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, the online news site BuzzFeed.com says that the man responsible for the undercover video that exposed Planned Parenthood and their trafficking in aborted baby body parts is claiming that he and his attorneys could go to prison for violating a federal court order saying that they could not release the videos that they were damaging videos showing what was happening with these Planned Parenthood clinics and others. Well, joining us now is Tom Brekka. He's the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society. Tom, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. Glad to be with you.
Your thoughts on this, Tom, that there's threats now that not just David DeLayden, but also his defense attorneys could go to jail for releasing this information.
Well, push is coming to shove, I'll tell you, out in California. They're very, very upset about release of these videos. But what brought it on was that David was charged suddenly with 15 felony charges, charges which, if he were convicted, could put him in San Quentin for decades. I mean, a very, very serious matter. Suddenly, the RICO racketeering civil cases that we're defending took a back seat. This is very serious criminal stuff. David decided he needed top flight experienced high profile criminal lawyers, and he retained the former chief prosecutor from LA County, Steve Cooley, a guy who had run against Kamala Harris, who is now the junior senator from California. She had been the attorney general, who, you know, had his home office raided by 11 or 12 armed law enforcement agencies a year ago, April. And her term ended. She ran for the Senate, and her successor, Xavier Becerra, suddenly, you know, really without warning, we hadn't heard from them in months, brought these serious felony charges. So the criminal defense lawyers decided that they needed to take aggressive action, that they had a right to defend David aggressively under the Sixth Amendment. He had the right to confront and cross-examine his accusers, and yet the complaint didn't name them. They were anonymous. Doe 1, Doe 2, the names weren't indicated. And so, in fact, they were given the right to see the tapes by the state court judge, the criminal court judge, and they felt they were not bound by the injunction.
Now, you mentioned these 15 felony charges. Even the L.A. Times editorial board found that these charges were bogus. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how this case is being handled. And one of the arguments for not releasing this video, or that they were sealed by the court, was that it could incite violence to the individuals that were involved. But, you know, these are just videos that are showing what the abortion industry is doing. It's not like, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center putting up a map of their homes and calling them hate groups or hate mongers. It's just showing what they did. And you have this judge who is, you know, certainly not neutral politically. I mean, he's an Obama appointee. He raised about $200,000 for Obama. It would suggest to me that the field is a little tilted out there as it pertains to David DeLayton.
Well, exactly, Tony. And, you know, the new criminal lawyers, new on the case, urged David to take a second look at the judge's background. And we found new facts that, frankly, we hadn't known before, not only about his political support for President Obama, who then appointed him to this judgeship, but more importantly, that he was in charge of a social service organization called Good Samaritan in San Francisco that negotiated a rent-free lease with Planned Parenthood. And, I mean, that's just one fact. On top of that, his wife, Catherine Orrick, was on YouTube liking some posts that were extremely disparaging about DeLayton, calling him a right-wing extremist who would, I think the quote was, one of those people who would do anything to hurt Planned Parenthood, you know, which is almost accusing him of violence. He's right. A totally nonviolent fellow. I mean, it's so we moved to disqualify the judge at the same time that the judge is coming after these guys for contempt of court.
How long will it take for that to play out?
Well, we don't know. We're actually, I'm headed for San Francisco tomorrow. The Attorney General is looking for sanctions in the state criminal court, saying these videos were sealed. We're certainly, the criminal lawyers dispute that, and that's Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, we're in front of a different federal judge who's going to consider the disqualification motion against the National Abortion Federation. We have another motion on file against Planned Parenthood. We brought a separate RICO case in front of the same federal judge.
Hey, Tom, we're up against the break. Can you hold on? I want to ask you one question.
Sure.
If you can
hold
on through the break, I want to bring you back, and I want to ask you one final question about this because I think it's important.
I'll be here.
Okay. All right, folks. Tom Brekka, our guest with the Thomas More Society. We're going to be back with more of that interview in just a moment. Then your phone calls here on Washington Watch, so don't go away.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at tperkins. Tom Brekka with the Thomas More Law Society is my guest. Tom, I want to pick up there where we were discussing. You're making this judge obviously is biased and should be removed from this case. But I want to go to the heart of the issue of the court order sealing these videos. Now, a number of these videos have been released. First, a couple of questions. First, why these videos? Why were these sealed and they were told they could not be released?
Tony, these were videos taken at the national conventions of the National Abortion Federation in 2014 and 15, and the case was filed by the National Abortion Federation in the summer of 2015, 2 years ago, to suppress them because David and his helpers had allegedly signed agreements that prohibited them from saying without permission, telling people what had happened at those meetings and from videotaping them. Now, you know, there was
like a secrecy agreement that you came in and you couldn't speak about what you saw or what you heard.
Yes, and David's position and ours in the case is that what he saw was evidence of criminal activity.
And there's actually, in the case of federal law, if you know that a felony is being committed and you don't report it, you are guilty of a crime.
Well, they call it misprison of felony, and it's an old common law crime. And, you know, what happened here was that the federal courts have said, well, we don't see any evidence of crime. Well, to us, that's incredible, and we're now appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court from the Ninth Circuit in California.
Okay. Now, my second question.
Yes.
My second question, Tom, related to that is, okay, they sealed these because there was a suit. These were kind of partitioned off from the other videos, the undercover videos he did at the clinics. What purpose, from the court's perspective, okay, from the court's perspective, I know what the plaintiffs wanted, or in this case, what the Abortion Federation wanted, but why, from the court's perspective, did they issue this order sealing the videos? What purpose does that serve from the court's perspective?
Well, the court's perspective is extremely deferential to the abortion industry and its leaders, and the irreparable injury the court said had to be avoided here was the harassment, and indeed, you know, there was that unfortunate shooting in Colorado, of course, by somebody who was a madman, insane, and on that basis not allowed to go to a criminal trial, and he did a shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic, and he said something irrationally about the babies, you know. And now, are we responsible? Is David responsible for the actions of a madman, and has it ever been repeated? No, it hasn't. And on the other hand, there was a party here called the Public Interest that is being totally overlooked. These videos have ignited congressional investigations, referrals for criminal prosecution by both House and Senate committees. So,
And let me add to that, Tom, because we just in a previous segment we were discussing with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center about the left and their attacks on conservatives and how they've not even taken a break with Steve Scalise being shot. They're, you know, MSNBC and others, basically saying his record made him a target. We have to be very careful about our rhetoric. All right? I think it's a responsible thing we have to do. We can vigorously engage in debate over ideas and ideology, but we don't demean people. Now, unlike groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center that put up a map with what they call their hate map, and they pinpoint where different individuals and organizations reside. What David DeLeiden did, he didn't provide any commentary on this. This is just pure video, undercover video of the abortionist and the abortion industry itself. And so in terms of inciting things, it would only be their own words. There's no commentary provided here, nor a map directing people to these abortionists.
Well, Tony, exactly the truth, what you're saying is there was not a word of incitement on the part of David. There was simply the journalistic function of letting people see and hear, you know, what was said by the people in the abortion industry themselves.
So if anything really is insightful, it's their own words.
Yes.
It's their own words.
Yes, this is the truth that's being suppressed, and it's for that reason we hope that Supreme Court, when the time comes, and I hope it'll be sometime later this summer, will agree to intervene and take this up. It was a censorship order, a prior restraint on free speech, and there were no state secrets involved here. There was no incitement to violence. There was simply the truth of a matter that is of paramount
in
national
interest. This, Tom, this is how the left deals with the truth. They can't combat it. They can't stand against it. They have to suppress it.
Well, I agree with you 150%. The word is totalitarianism. It's total control and suppression of the facts they don't want people to hear. And, you know, our judge made a comment about avoiding real harm to human beings. And, of course, we all winced because that's exactly what the pro-life movement is trying to
stop. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate the work you're doing. We're going to track this very, very closely. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony, very much. Bye-bye now.
All right, Tom Brekka with the Thomas More Society. Wow. And that's what this is about. It's about suppression of the truth. There's no commentary here. I mean, if you've watched these videos, they're appalling, sickening. It shows the coarsening of society. But this is about a judge wanting to pick winners and losers, not deciding the facts of the law. And he's a shill for the abortion industry. He's protecting the abortion industry. All right, here we only got a few minutes, but I want to take a few phone calls. I could talk about this because, I mean, I was a reporter one time and I went in to a Planned Parenthood, it was a Planned Parenthood public health clinic, health clinic seminar. And the stuff that they talked about freely, which I recorded, they didn't know I was new as a reporter and they didn't know that I was conservative. And I just put their words up. oh, boy, did they get upset. Because we blew their cover. I mean, they say one thing publicly, but they say completely other things in private. You can't trust them. All right. Some may say, you know, David had a court order. He should not have released this information. He should have abided by the court order, the gag order, keeping this information from the public. What do you think? Do you think he should have abided by this court order and not released this information, or was he right to do so? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Want to know what you think? I'm going to tell you what I think, but before I do, I'm going to let a few of you call in and give me your thoughts on this. Because, again, this is how the left, the liberals, deal with information, with the truth. They don't want it out there. They can't combat it. They can't fight it. They want to suppress it. I mean, that's... You know, when you get these the groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I haven't been talking much about them, but people are being, shot, attacked because of the recklessness of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And their whole reason for doing this is to intimidate and to silence people. Now, they have a hard time dealing with the fact that there are many conservatives, Christians, who... You know, we believe the truth, and we believe the truth is worth defending. And we're not going to go away silently. You can do all the intimidation, the attacks, the character assassinations, but it's not going to work. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kentucky, where Frank is on the line. Frank, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi there, Tony.
How you doing?
I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I believe that David, I wanted to say, ask everybody that hears my voice that is in the body of Christ, please pray for David. And I think David did an excellent thing, because that's what God wants us to do, expose sin. And that's the
All right.
thing what they were doing.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Let me get in a few more calls here, because I'm gonna save time for me to give my perspective on this. Frank says he should have done it. He was disclosing truth and revealing, pulling back the veil on what is evil. And, he said that's the role of Christians. Thanks, Frank, for giving a call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. That's the number to call. Let's go to Texas, where Donna is on the line. Donna, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What do you think, Donna?
Well, I think that what David Dalyden did was in accordance with Scripture. If you recall, when Peter was brought before the tribunal, the Sanhedrin, and the Book of Acts, and they were instructed to obey their decree or their law to not do a certain thing, but yet Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they continued, they asked for boldness and for courage to continue to do what was right. So in this situation, I believe what he did was obeying God rather than man.
All right. Donna, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening and calling in. Let's go to Mitch in Kansas. Mitch, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I wanted to bring up the fact that this is very similar to what happened to our Attorney General, Phil Klein,
yes.
About 10 years ago.
I remember, Phil's a friend. I remember what took place with Phil.
Yeah, and I don't have much hope for David, because even if he wins his case, they're going to come after him personally. With Phil, it wasn't enough to run him out of office. They didn't want to destroy his career. They wanted to destroy his life.
Mm-hmm.
And they got his license to practice law revoked. And I don't even know where he lives. He's completely out of the state, because he couldn't get work anywhere in the state.
There is a price. There is a price sometimes that is paid without questions. I mean, as Donna was just mentioning, the apostles, Peter and John. I mean, if you recall, in chapters 4 and 5, they were beaten. They refused, but they were beaten as a result of that. Mitch, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Daniel in Louisiana. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Mr. Perkins? God bless you.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, sir.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think he was right to expose that, because like you said, if it was a federal law that says that if you see something wrong, it's your job to expose it. So, I mean, I guess he's in the right, sir.
All right. Daniel, thanks so much for listening and calling in, as we were talking about with Tom, Ms. Prisman, the felony, where if you see a felony happening, you don't report it. Now, he was intentionally going undercover to expose Planned Parenthood, and he found this stuff. Now, did he think he was going to find it when he started? I don't know. Probably had a hunch that he would. This, and I'm going to give you my perspective now, okay? I actually write about this in my book, No Fear. And I write about it in the context of Lila Rose, because Lila actually was a precursor to David DeLeiden. She really took the undercover. She wasn't the first, but she was the first to go in with cameras because the technology had allowed it to, you know, kind of move to that point. She went undercover in these Planned Parenthood clinics. And this raised an issue with many Christians. Should she do that? Because she was, in some cases, violating the law by recording these conversations. Well, I went back in the book, and in each of these cases, I look at what Scripture has to say. And I go back to the what were called the Hebrew midwives when Moses was born. And you'll recall in that case where Pharaoh had told them that they were to basically kill all the male children of the Israelites. And it's very clear in Scripture they did not. They feared God rather than Pharaoh. Now, they violated the law, okay? But they were also willing to pay the penalty for doing that. Now, I think we have to be prepared. If we come to that point, as Donna made reference to earlier, where we have to choose between obeying God and obeying man, we need to weigh that very, very carefully. I think we got to be very careful about just throwing off the law because, you know, it gets in the way or it doesn't accomplish what we want to do. We have to weigh the consequences, and we have to weigh the issues at hand. Now, I think David did the right thing, okay? But I think he has to weigh the consequences that he could face jail time. You have to trust God at some point that you're going to do the right thing, and it may not always turn out in the short term for the best for you. But when you stand for truth and you stand with God in the end and your motives are right, you have to trust God. We should fear God, not man. We might talk more about this later this week. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. We're out of time. But if you missed anything on the way home, go to TonyPerkins.com. It's all archived right there. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.